What a week. I don't know if earthquake is strong enough words. Word. At any rate, Chris Reagan is an economist at McGill University, and he has been watching this with great interest and joins me in studio. Chris has been on the program before. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Fine. A little bit rushed getting into the studio, but fine.
They wouldn't let him in. Well, your glasses are shattered. Were you a bit upset by what's going on this week, too?
Well,
what happened?
Not upset, but interested. Well, I mean, a lot of things happened. And a lot of this has been building for a lot of months. I mean, this all sort of came to the fore last August, 2 Augusts ago. And, you know, this is clearly connected with the subprime mortgage issue.
Part of the mortgage things being wrapped up and turned into debt?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. These are the bizarre, the exotic financial instruments that have been created over the past
really
several
new.
Years,
yeah.
And they're quite opaque. And you know, this really came to the fore in August of 2007, when institutions started realizing that they didn't quite know what they had on their books, and this has been building. And now what we've seen just over the past couple of weeks is that more institutions are ending up with holes in their balance sheets.
If they saw it coming, why couldn't they head it off? Either Bernanke at the Fed or the SEC or, I guess, the captains of industry who are in charge of this anyway.
I think that's a great question. I'm not quite sure they saw it coming. I mean, some people claim to have seen it coming, but when things are looking good, from 2002, 3, 4, 5, and 6, everything looked great. It's kind of hard to stand up and say the sky is falling.
For the ride.
Yeah. And anyway, so what's happened in the past week is that that some more of these institutions have discovered that they've got bigger holes in their balance sheets than they thought. And what's interesting is that the authorities in the United States, the combination of the Treasury and the Federal Reserve, have, in their wisdom, deemed that some of these institutions are too big to fail, such as Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and AIG, on the one hand, and other institutions are not big enough or not important enough to
Lehman
fail,
Brothers.
And so Lehman Brothers was allowed to go under. And that, I think, there's an interesting distinction there, and I think that that distinction shows that the authorities are actually thinking about it. What I would say is sort of in the right way is that they generally don't want to bail out institutions. There's a general view both at the Fed and the Treasury in the United States, and I think the same thing would be true in Canada, that we don't really want to bail out institutions unless their failure would bring down the financial system. And financial.
Okay, let me ask you one question that springs to my mind. You are a small investor, and you would rather have that prevented than letting the institution in which you have, what do they call them in the States, K-401s or whatever they, but your mutual funds, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then let it fail. I mean, that's fine to say, let's let these companies fail if they're run properly, but my 20 grand in my mutual fund is in there. I failed too, and it's not my fault. It's the people who didn't run the company properly.
That's right. I mean, one of the things, first of all, to protect the individual consumers here, both in Canada and the United States, is deposit insurance. So even if in Canada, if the Bank of Montreal were to go under, my deposits in the Bank of Montreal are guaranteed, and the same thing is true in the United States. So the individual and those institutions were created after the Great Depression to prevent bank runs. So you haven't noticed bank runs been going on in the United States. And, of course, in Canada, we're in a different situation anyway. But you haven't seen bank runs in the past week. The individual consumers know that they don't need to be too scared, at least in terms of the safety of their own deposits. The problem is the banks that are connected. You know, financial markets are different than other markets. Banks are connected to other banks and to other financial organizations through sophisticated contractual arrangements. And the danger is, and this is exactly what Paulson and Bernanke were thinking about, the danger is when some banks or financial institutions go under, it may drag down others with it. And
because I was reading yesterday that people even who want to switch money from equity funds into money markets have problems moving things around because that financial institution which may back this so-called money market, which is safe, right, like a savings account, won't be around. won't be around.
Well, so in the United States,
that scares you.
In the United, yeah, absolutely. And this is what's been going on in credit markets lately, and this is why the Federal Reserve and other central banks created this concerted action to open up this huge what's called a credit facility, which is basically a line of credit. Because let me back up a bit. Banks around the world borrow and lend billions of dollars overnight to each other. Okay, banks get to the end of the day, they've got a bunch of cash. It's not in an interest-bearing asset, so they lend it out. Other banks need cash at the end of the day. So there's an overnight market. And what is central to the functioning of that market is trust on both sides. I mean, there's collateral on these loans, but if I'm going to lend you $100 million overnight, I've got to know that the collateral you're giving me is going to be good tomorrow morning.
Well, so Lehman Brothers wants $500 million, they're not going to get it because nobody's going to lend Lehman Brothers money because
not anymore.
They're goners.
Not anymore. That's right.
Right.
But so the problem is even when both of our institutions, the Dave Institution and the Chris Institution, are currently up and running, we don't know that they're going to be up and running tomorrow. Okay, this is the danger. Yeah. This is called the counterparty risk, the risk about the counterparty. And so I don't know that your collateral that you're putting up in our loan is going to be okay, so I don't want to lend you money. So now what we've got is these credit markets that typically work very, very well overnight have seized up.
Illiquid, so, right?
Illiquid.
They say? You can't move it.
So the central banks have said, we are going to make money available. We're not lending it. We're just making it available. So that if you run into problems in the credit market, you can always turn to your local central bank.
But how much money can they do? I mean, they've already talked about in the trillions, $500 billion here, $50
billion. Well, no, hold on. The concerted central bank action that I think was released on Thursday was $180 billion.
Yeah. But people are saying there's going to be a lot more that's going to be made available or needs to be made available than that.
Okay, but then there's the congressional action.
Okay.
Which is, these are two very different things. Okay, the central banks are standing ready to lend to banks and financial institutions if they need it. And those would be viewed as very short-term loans. Okay. What the U.S. government is now thinking about doing, and the details are nowhere near complete, is setting up an organization that will take on the bad debt.
What does that do to the economy, though?
Well, I think the problem is
they can't do it endlessly.
No, they can't because when the U.S. government does it, that's U.S. taxpayers' dollars on the stake. Well, not your taxpayers' dollars, but U.S. taxpayers' dollars. And until we know the details, we don't know really what that's going to do. But it looks like it's going to be big.
I've got two quick questions and not too much time. One of them was Alan Greenspan said he'd mentioned there was something going on here that was going to happen and we're ready for a fall. But a lot of people blame Alan Greenspan for practically printing money for people to make loans for mortgages for ages, making money too accessible for too long as being a culprit here. What do you think?
I think that's probably an easier criticism to make after the fact than at the time. There's no question that Alan Greenspan and every other central banker in the world printed money because that's what central banks do. They print money. The question is whether they're printing it too much, too fast. But it's not just about what the central banks do. So one can accuse, with some justification perhaps, one can accuse the Federal Reserve of being too loose with money, too expansionary, having interest rates too low for too long. We could have that debate. But it's more than that. I mean, the U.S. housing market bubble was about bizarre mortgages being made, zero interest mortgages, zero down payment mortgages, the subprime mortgage, lending money, frankly, to people who they shouldn't have been lending money to.
Doesn't anybody who's taken a 101 economics course or accounting course know that, let alone the guy, the CEO who's making $176 million, know that, you know, wait a minute, this is not good fiscal management?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think you'd learn that in accounting, but you might learn it in economics. It's a good question. I mean, there are some people who looked at those sorts of mortgages and with a raised eyebrow and said, "Why are you doing that?" I think there were people that were borrowing money that shouldn't have been borrowing it, and I think there were banks making loans that probably shouldn't have been making those loans. But it happened.
I'm sorry, we've only got a few seconds. What should I look for, the average guy, next week for what they're going to tell me from the States?
I think you should probably look for more volatility. Markets looked pretty good on Friday. Things were up by 7%.
Yes,
but over the week, it's just slightly up. My guess is that there's more volatility. And so if there was ever a lesson, if there was ever an example of why you shouldn't get in and out of the market quickly, it was this week. Hang in there. Take a relaxing tea.
Tea? Okay, rather than coffee, right? Too much of a jumpstart.
I'm a coffee guy, but tea will calm you.
Chris, thanks very much. McGill University professor, Chris Reagan.